you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This morning, as I was reading the newspapers, I came across an opinion piece that touched me deeply. And I wanted to share that opinion piece, at least in part, with you in the next few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The piece is titled, Ex-Abortionist, How I Became Pro-Life. It's in very, very large letters. Again, it's in the opinion section of USA Today. The article is written by Dr. Kathy Altman, and she is an associate scholar with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a member of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And she writes this. It's very, very moving. She says, and this is how the article starts out, "I've killed more people than Ted Bundy. Coming to terms with that fact, the fact that I was a professional mass murderer, was devastating. But it compelled me to speak the truth. I began my medical career believing that women must have total control over our bodies and that it's unethical to bring unwanted children into an overpopulated world. During my residency in Florida, I asked to learn how I could perform second trimester dismemberment abortions. When faced with my own unwanted pregnancy, before entering medical school, I chose abortion. Abortions, I discovered, can be very, very profitable. When I got my medical license, I moonlighted as an abortionist on weekends, making more money than I could have made working in the emergency room. I even performed abortions while I myself was pregnant." And then she writes, "There were three patients that changed my professional trajectory. The first was when I was preparing to perform an abortion and realized I had already performed three on this person in the past. I protested only to be told by my boss that I had no right to deny it to this patient. Easy for you to say, you're not the one doing the killing," I snapped. "I did the killing. But my response startled me. The second patient was a young woman who was there with a friend who asked whether she wanted to see the tissue. When I was done, the patient replied angrily that no, she just wanted to kill it. What did this baby ever do to you?" I wondered. I don't think I had ever thought of them as babies before. But it was the mother of four who felt she just couldn't manage another child who brought me to tears. She wept before, during, and after the procedure. It was the grief of a woman who knew the moral gravity of what she was doing and ended, as a result of her grief, ended my abortion career. I stopped doing abortions, but I remained pro-choice. Over time, however, I saw in my OBGYN practice young girls flourish who had not chosen to abort, and older, more educated patients who had aborted and struggled psychologically. Gradually, I began to see the feminist narrative that abortion empowers women as increasingly flimsy. Ultimately, I could not shake the realization that the only thing that decided the fate of the baby was whether he or she was wanted or not. The former was born, the latter was killed. The life or death of a human being should not be so arbitrarily decided. And so, says Kathy Altman, I became pro-life. Well, this is a long article, and I just read a few sections of the article, but extremely moving. And I was very, very delighted that USA Today decided to publish this article in bold text. It was also interesting that today I read a townhall.com radio commentary by Owen Strachan. And he writes, "For you form my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Those words, familiar to many, come from Psalm 139. In poetic language, we learn that the Creator gives life to every person. Our personhood does not awake at our birth. A child in the womb is a child. Yet since Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in 1973, Americans have broadly rejected this vision. We have embraced abortion and have killed well over 60 million babies in the womb. Truly, the blood of our children cries out from the earth. Thankfully, in our time, we are seeing major pro-life gains. Several pro-life Supreme Court justices have been appointed, and younger generations pull strongly pro-life. Whether you're motivated by religious conviction or common recognition of human dignity, let us keep fighting for life. Why? Because nothing is more precious than a baby. Having had recently two more grandchildren brought into our family, I can echo that remark. Truly, nothing more precious. It is important to make a distinction between pro-life and pro-choice, which is, in reality, pro-murder. Why? Because, as Dr. Kathy Altman makes plain, abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. As I've said many times, it's painful in that the methods employed to kill a preborn baby boy or preborn baby girl involve burning and smothering, dismembering and crushing. It's killing. It's killing in that the preborn child fulfills the criteria which establish biological life, metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and the like. It's the painful killing of an innocent human being in that the baby is the product of human parents and has a totally distinct human genetic code. Far from deserving capital punishment, or as Dr. Kathy Altman put it, mass murder, these innocent human beings deserve care. They deserve protection. They may not have a fully developed personality, but they do have full personhood from the moment that they are conceived. Dr. Jaime Gordon, a professor of genetics, said it well many, many years ago. This is something that I hope gets caught in your memory, Trace. He said, "I think we can now also say that the question of the beginning of life, when life begins, is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It's an established scientific fact. Theologians and philosophers may go on to debate the meaning of life or the purpose of life, but it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. Since science has demonstrated that a preborn child is human, and since all human beings have transcendent value, it follows that taking the life of an innocent human being through abortion ought to become unthinkable, particularly in the progressive West. We're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And my deepest appreciation to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When we're talking about life, we're talking about a life that matters more. We're talking about a life that is life to the full, that we can experience in this life, not only in the life that is to come. Back in a moment with answers to your questions.
New York Times bestselling author J.W. Richards wrote Eat Fast Feast to help readers revolutionize their physical and spiritual health with a comprehensive guide to intermittent fasting that invites Christians to recover the fasting lifestyle that our spiritual ancestors maintained for over 1,500 years. Find out why modern science and ancient Christian practices support fasting for healthy living, and begin 2020 by healing your body and feeding your soul. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-giving outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The book, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat, Fast, Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick reminder that we have a wonderful new double edition of the Christian Research Journal available for your consumption. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, where you can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion. Again, on the web, equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Mary in Houston, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Hank. I have a question about miracles.
Uh-huh.
Does God speak through miracles?
What is the question, Mary?
Does God speak through miracles?
Oh, I think absolutely. This is a way in which God supersedes the laws of nature, and therefore we often refer to miracles as mysteries. Of course, Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, performed so many miracles. You can read about them in the Gospels. And that showed that he had a mastery over nature. There were other miracles that demonstrated his power over sin and disease and death. And this was not only something that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ demonstrated, but the apostles continued to demonstrate the same. They demonstrated the power of God through miracles in the name of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you see today healings, and you see other contemporary miracles that show his power and his presence has not left the church, but continues on in the church. For when we become part of the body of Christ, our temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we receive the chrism, we are anointed with power. And that power comes through the graces that are dispensed through the sacraments of the church. And so miracles are a way in which God demonstrates his power and purpose in the earth. And there are many different types of miracles. Healings are only one kind of miracle. God speaks to us through his word, through the miraculous nature of how he has even preserved his word through the ground and pillar of truth, which is the church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That help?
Oh, yes.
Well, thanks for calling, Mary. God bless you. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeff in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, who is listening on CHRB. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Hank, how are you? And congratulations on the latest additions to the Hanegraaff legacy with your grandchildren.
Thank you.
I have a really quick question. I was asked by one of the guys that I work with, talking about New Testament versus Old Testament. Now, obviously, saved through Christ alone, and no one gets to the Father except through me, et cetera, et cetera. He did have a question about the Jewish people living in Christ's time, not necessarily the ones that rejected Christ, but prior to Christ's arrival. How did they get to heaven? I mean, I understand Abraham's bosom and stuff like that, but are they saved? Are they not saved? Do they have a special place in heaven? How are they saved?
Yeah, so all people are saved in the exact same way. They're saved by grace alone through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of Abraham, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and wonder how he could have known of Jesus Christ. Well, he knew of Jesus Christ through types and shadows. And remember, each year the Jews celebrated the Passover to keep them focused on the one who was to come to die for their sins. So Jesus stands at the apex of human history. Just as people today look back in history to Christ's sacrifice on the cross, so too people who live before the time of Christ look forward to his sacrifice for them. Again, they look forward through types and shadows. And Hebrews says that the blood of Jesus Christ, of course, is better than the blood of bulls and goats, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the types and shadows. And we also look at the fact that Jesus ministered to people during his earthly sojourn, but remember, he died. And when he died, he did not die spiritually, obviously. He was absent the body, but he was alive in the spirit, through whom He made testimony and proclaimed the gospel to those held captive in Sheol, or Abraham's bosom is a place that encompasses Sheol as a place for the abode of the unredeemed, as well as Sheol as the abode for the people who are redeemed. So you see in Luke chapter 16, for example, the rich man in torment and Lazarus in bliss in Abraham's bosom or paradise. So the abode of the dead is something visited by Jesus Christ between his death and his resurrection. So we can say, as you qualified, that those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, from Adam to Abraham to the patriarchs of the Old Testament, to those who were friends of God, who look forward to him through the light of creation and conscience, have the same opportunity to receive Christ as those who lived during his earthly sojourn and those of us who are alive and know the story of redemption through Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't 100% sure how to ask him, and I told him, I said, you know what, I know there's a guy out there that I know, and he's a brother in Christ, and I'm going to ask him. So thank you very, very much, and God bless, Hank. And I'll let you go. I know you got a bunch of callers coming up next, but again, thank you very, very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ray in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ray is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ray.
Thank you so much. I had a question. I was thinking that I have a hard time arguing abortion with people who are pro-abortion. And one of the things that came up was if somebody was, let's say, a surrogate for another couple and carrying a fertilized fetus or a fetus, and let's say the surrogate decided to terminate that pregnancy, an argument can be made that that is murder, and yet they won't make the same, you know, consideration that somebody naturally fertilized. And I don't know if that argument has ever been made. I'm just trying to be provocative.
Yeah, well, I think the reproductive technologies have brought a whole host of conundrums into the equation for sure. But the reality always gets back to, what is a zygote? A fertilized human egg is a human being from the moment of conception, and therefore we must always protect that life. One of the most incredible stories in terms of reproductive technologies and its effects is the Snowflake program. And someone listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast adopted a snowflake. The snowflake has a name, Elise, and Elise is now a beautiful young girl. So even through these reproductive technologies, we see that life is inherent in a fertilized human egg, and therefore, no matter the condition, no matter the situation, that life needs to be treated with the dignity that it deserves, the dignity coming directly from the fact that this is a human being made in the image of God and designed to become God-like. In other words, to fulfill the likeness of God as well.
Well, thank you. I believe in it. I'm just trying to find better, more provocative arguments for the other side that might,
I have an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, that actually uses the argument or the acronym abortion to spell out the arguments and the typical objections. Not only that, but we have some great resources that you can find on the web at equip.org in this regard.
I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's see if we can slip in another quick call. Mina, listening in New Jersey, also on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mina.
Hi. How you doing, Hank?
Doing well. Thank you.
Well, great. Well, I just want to say it's a great blessing to talk with you. And, you know, I really appreciate your talk regarding Orthodox. I'm a Coptic Orthodox.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're brothers in Christ.
Yes.
And and I just, have your new book, and it's a really very, very impactful and very nice. And my question is, in the Bible talks about different levels in heaven. And,
I'm going to have to answer that question really quickly because I'm completely out of time. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and what you'll find there is that there's no foundation other than Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. And the day of the Lord will reveal what we were building with. If we were building with those materials that represent the graces of God, then there's great reward. If not, we may escape, but only as one escaping through the flames. That's all I have time for. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be back here tomorrow with more of the show. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat Fast Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, a Christian guide to fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.